Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, with a variety talk show whose only mission is to empower you.
And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. Today's topic is on a topic that I know a little too well, shamefully. today's topic is managing emotional eating, and I am honored to welcome back fitness coach Bridget L. Collins. She's the owner of MAC Fitness, that's short for Making a Commitment to Fitness, an organization that offers creative solutions for incorporating healthier lifestyle habits. She's also the author of two books, Destined to Live Healthier and Imagine Living Healthier. These two books have empowered many through the collections of fictional stories that tell the real-life challenges with weight, health, work, marriage, and self-love. Welcome. Welcome back, I must say, Coach Collins.
Well, thank you for inviting me back, Yvonne.
I'm really looking forward to discussing this topic.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to help somebody, the listeners, get through that emotional eating aspect of their life if that's something that they recognize once we kind of talk about the topic.
Yeah, and me too. what exactly is an emotional eater?
Well, simply, it's eating in response to what's going on around you. And it could be good or bad. You're eating for some reason beyond hunger. You're not hungry, but you're eating. Mm-hmm. You're eating outside of what's required to keep your body functioning. If you come into this awareness that you need X amount of calories, you understand all of those things, but for whatever reason, you're eating beyond that. For the typical emotional eater, food works in those situations where they rather not feel or tolerate something that's going on. It could be boredom, it could be stress, it could be anxiety, it could be loneliness, it could be anger. Food is typically used for the emotional eater as that distraction that helps to take them away.
And I'll say for me, too, there's been many a times where I know that I shouldn't, and I feel bad after I've eaten up all dinner for myself and the family. why do me or other emotional eaters continue to do this?
Because it's that habit that you've developed to cope with whatever the situation is going on in your life. And it could be stress, like I said. It could be something going on at work. For whatever reason it is, it causes you to reach for, say, your favorite foods. It helps to compensate for some thing that you're unable to control in your life. You know, for a lot of folks, I come in contact with a lot of clients. They're dealing with relationship issues, issues on their jobs, issues that are internal, and food is that mechanism that they use to help them deal with those situations that are going on in their lives. You know, food is that something that you can control.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control whether the husband doesn't want to be with you anymore, the boyfriend breaks up with you because they've made this decision. You have no control over it, but you have control over your response. And typically, a lot of times, that response is eating. Sometimes you don't have control over that boss at work that keeps riding you and putting more on your plate than what you think you should have, but you do have control over food. So it helps you to compensate for those things that are going on in your life, whatever they might be, that's now termed you as an emotional eater. And I think as a whole society, it, to a certain degree, we're all emotional eaters because, you know, as back as the biblical days, what was that form of celebratory events? Food is always the center attraction.
Yeah.
To help us celebrate and feel good and whatever the situation. So all times it's not some uncomfortable or bad situation. We use food to help us celebrate that promotion that we've just gotten or graduation from college, you know. Food has just become the centerpiece attraction for most things in our lives.
Even connection. Even connecting with people. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, like meetings, or you'd be like, okay, let's do lunch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or what are we going to serve for, what we're going to have for the continental breakfast
yeah.
for that meeting? Or, like you say, where are we going to meet for lunch? Or just social gatherings. The food is always going to be, okay, so what are we going to serve? Because, you know, we got to have some good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to have some croissants or some jelly-filled donuts or some pigs in a blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So, and it's gotten us in trouble because
yeah.
That's the primary focus for a lot of things that we're involved in. It's kind of like even if you're having some working session at work, it's kind of like, well, we need to have some food here because we're going to be working through food just become the centerpiece attraction, even if you're at church. And, you know, now food, you know, we're having pastor's anniversary or, you know, Women's Day, and food is just surrounding us.
Yeah. And in some ways, does stress make you feel hungry? Like, there's been times where or situations where I may have just got through eating and I still feel hungry. Like if I may have a lot on my mind or something like that, and I don't even remember gulping down the plate that I just had
yeah.
that I had a couple of hours ago, but I still
yeah.
feel hungry. So is stress, is it some type of chemical thing that stress does to make you feel that hunger?
Well, now, stress does cause chemical reactions in the body and certain hormones to be released. I know one particular hormone that's been, you even see commercials about cortisol and how it releases this hormone in the body and it causes weight gain because it, I guess in a sense, it makes you want to eat or maybe not necessarily want to eat, but the chemical reaction that's going on inside the body because of this stress causes you to have more in your blood than what's necessary, which now it doesn't metabolize the fats and carbohydrates and all of the things that cortisol is supposed to do inside the body because of these high levels of stress that it's produced. So I know when we talk about stress and food and weight gain, that's been a hot topic, the cortisol, because you'll see commercials say, well, cortisol pills help regulate it in your body and this and that, you know, just one more avenue for, I guess, the drug companies to make money
mm-hmm.
when all one has to do is to figure out what the source is.
Yeah.
You know, how can one alleviate the stresses that are in their life? That boss is always, that boss, until you leave or they leave, the boss pretty much isn't going to change because it's their world and you just there in it and you're going to have to adapt. But you've got to find that outside mechanism besides food to help you deal with that situation. One thing comes to mind is exercise. If you're not exercising, that's one of the best stress relievers that it is.
Mm-hmm. And we've all heard, well, I can say I have, and I'm sure many other listeners have too, heard the saying, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. How do we recognize what we're feeding?
Well, once again, you've got to identify what's eating you. Is it some relationship that's not going the way you want it to? Is it some internal issue that you haven't quite resolved yet, something that has happened in your childhood or something that has happened to somebody that's close to you that you still, you know, dealing with issues behind? Is it that something that has happened in your past? Is it your marriage? Do you eat more at work because of stress or boredom? Do you eat more at parties or social situations because you're nervous or anxious? Do you eat when you're bored or lonely? One has to really sit down and identify what the triggers are.
Mm-hmm.
I have a wellness program that I do that I pretty much primarily promote in churches. It's a 10-week wellness program where the first component of that wellness program is a self-examination exercise that I have all of the participants to engage in. And in this self-examination exercise, they've got to identify what's preventing them from exercising. Is it work? Is it school? Is it family? Is it whatever that is, different categories? What's preventing you from exercising on most days of the week? Which one of these things are preventing you from eating healthy? You're saying that I'm going to eat more fruits, I'm going to eat more vegetables. Is it some relationship? Is it some internal issue? And it forces the participant to sit there and really analyze their own personal situation to say, you know what, I do eat more at work because of whatever the circumstances that exist at work. Or somebody else may say, you know what, I am in this unhappy marriage, and as a result, these are the things that I do that for whatever reason, I won't lend the sort of attention that I need to myself, to where I am trying to be healthier, I am trying to exercise, I am trying to drink more water, I am trying to eat healthier. It takes the participants through this journey where they've got to, where, like I say, it forces them to identify what's causing them to avoid this particular aspect of their life.
Yeah.
And so it's the same with what's eating you, or you've got to really sit down and do the self-examination to help you figure out.
So once someone has sat down and said, okay, these are the issues, and when do you seek help?
I believe it's when it's just too overwhelming for you. And hopefully one recognizes is that they've got all of these forces in their lives that they just can't get a handle on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eating themselves into a frenzy, and that's beginning to affect their health. I have one particular client that I work with, and she admits eating beyond what she needs because of the things from her past that haunts her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's estranged from her family and her siblings, and her children, although they're grown and gone, she blames herself for how their lives have turned out. Sounds like she was involved in drugs early in her life, and her children saw all of the activities that she was involved in, and now they've turned out a way that she believes is the result of how she's lived her life. And she admits that after she eats the main meal, she's right back in the kitchen eating something else, and then something else, and then something else. In essence, she's having a hard time dealing with some of the things as a result, and as a result, she eats. And it's my belief until she really deals with those things internally and put it behind her, she's never going to be effective with living healthier. So for me, that's someone that's dealing with a variety of things that's overwhelming to her. And in my opinion, would need to seek the services of a professional counselor or something like that.
So when does somebody seek a health coach? I mean, a fitness coach such as yourself?
Well, now they've made it up in their mind that they're ready to pursue a healthier life.
Mm-hmm.
And they've analyzed their life, and they're ready to make some changes, because I think that's the hardest part for a lot of folks. It's kind of like if you've been sedentary for a number of years, and now to get out and say, well, you know, I'm going to start walking, and to be consistent. A lot of times people start off doing some activity for 2 or 3 weeks, and if they're looking for immediate changes in terms of physical changes and it doesn't happen, then they just kind of give up. So that coach is really there to help keep them going, to keep them motivated, to keep them inspired and saying, okay, if you just stick with this, and we're going to add a variety for you. And then eventually, a month or so in, they start to see their body changes. Then that person starts to feel better and is more apt to stay with the activity.
Yeah.
So it's once that person really says to themselves, you know, I'm ready to make some changes. I'm ready to move my life in a different direction, and I know my health has to come first because it just hasn't been there. I've allowed everything else to take center stage in my life except me. And a lot of times those are the people that I welcome with open arms because they've resolved in their minds that if they don't make some changes, the outlook down the road isn't going to be so pleasant.
Yeah. So once we have in our head, I mean, we've resolved the issues and have understand where it's coming from, how do we break the habit of the emotional eating? How do we break that habit?
Well, depending on one's ability to exercise that control, hopefully they're going to depending on how severe the emotional eating is, hopefully they will seek that professional help that's needed, or they will put forth the effort to develop the alternatives to eating. That could be exercising, because now we know that exercise helps to relieve stress and anxiety, generates energy, and makes one feel good about themselves. And it's going to be a distraction, because now you're understanding more about, hopefully, eating better, and if you're eating better and you're exercising, you're just going to feel overall better about yourself. It could be, you know, talking to a friend or a support group to help you avoid whatever it is that's going on in your life or to help you deal with it a little bit better. And I would say drinking water. A lot of times people mistake hunger because they're not filling up with water. And if one isn't drinking a sufficient amount of water, they have to be kind of careful that they're not mistaking that for hunger. It could just be that the body is dehydrated and they're thirsty.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you know the difference between hunger pain and craving?
Now, in my opinion, cravings are more mental. It's kind of like you feel it in your mouth, in your brain, like you just want to taste it, whether it's sugary or salty or something like that. It's more mental, whereas with hunger, you don't feel that something in your stomach to let you know that it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like if I'm in meetings all day and, you know, I try to snatch something here and there to just try to keep my body going, I know when I'm hungry because I'm going to hear some little rumbling in my stomach.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like with women that are pregnant and they talk about cravings, how they crave pickles and ice cream.
Yeah.
Well, it's more mental. It's this feeling. It's this wanting this sugary and this bitter something going on. They're craving it. It's not hunger pains. It's just a craving that they have, like one craves chocolate.
Yeah.
My opinion is more mental with the cravings, and then the hunger is more associated with that you haven't fed your body what it needs to keep it going.
I think, too, I've heard a long time ago that, and I've heard people do this, like shrink their stomach back, because your stomach becomes, I guess, immune to you eating a certain amount per day.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't, you may think that you're hungry, But it's I don't really know the real terminology or whatever, but it's like you've fed your body so much that your body is now addicted to eating every 2 hours. How can you break the addiction of eating, the habit, or it's an addiction too, but the addiction of eating throughout the day? And can we start monitoring, like keeping?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I would say to someone that's trying to break the addiction. You know, take a week and write down everything that you eat, starting with, you know, the time you get up, if you eat breakfast, whatever you've eaten for that mid-morning snack, you know, whether it was coffee, and, you know, what did you eat for breakfast, for lunch, and then an afternoon snack, just everything that you've eaten throughout the day for a week. And then determine why you ate it.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully that's going to help you recognize the triggers so you can change your reaction to why ever you ate those particular foods. You know, hopefully if you're saying, well, I ate breakfast because I know, you know, my day needs to start off with breakfast,
mm-hmm.
you know, then that's why you ate that breakfast. But then once we get you beyond breaking the addiction, then we'll focus more on what you ate for breakfast, because one can't eat pancakes, sausage, and eggs every day,
yeah.
or croissant, egg, and ham sandwich every day. But let's first recognize, why are you eating the foods that you've eaten,
uh-huh.
to identify the triggers. If you had a bag of M&Ms for your mid-morning snack, or you had a Coke or a Pepsi or a Dr. Pepper at 9 a.m., why did you have a Dr. Pepper? Why did you turn back around and eat the package of peanut M&Ms at 10:30? Well, I was stressed. My boss was on me. I was working on this deadline, trying to get something out by a certain time. Those are the kind of things that you're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
So once you figure those things out, it's kind of like, okay, well, let's have an apple nearby. Let's have an orange. So if you've got to grab for something, then you're going to grab for something healthier.
And then start monitoring, too, because sometimes, sadly, I admit, I forget that I've just got through eating.
Yeah.
You know, I just got through eating. Why am I eating again?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's another good reason to monitor yourself, too.
And write it down. And, like I say, include the times that you ate whatever it is that you ate. And then put a reason behind it. So then you can hopefully identify, okay, so I know I had lunch at 12:30 and I had whatever I had, but then I turned back around and had some cheese nachos.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you didn't have cheese. You had an apple, right?
Yeah, I had a.
yeah.
Real healthy. No, seriously, I do eat healthier. For the past, I'd say 5 years now, but my problem is I eat too much. So I was able to lose the weight, but now I done plateaued because I'm still eating a lot. I'm just eating healthier.
Yeah, so you probably would want to portion out your foods.
Yeah.
And go and say, you know, if you're eating brown rice, because we know you're not going to eat white rice, right?
Right.
Well, you need a half a cup. Measure out a half a cup of cooked rice so that you can know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because a serving, that's all you need is a half a cup for a serving. If another day you want to have mashed potatoes, you know what a half a cup of mashed potatoes look like.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you need to go with your baked chicken and your steamed broccoli or your salad or whatever your vegetable is going to be.
Yeah.
Start just kind of, and, you know, sometimes people, they purchase the food wares where you can kind of like put your chicken on there and say, okay, this is 3 ounces, this is 5 ounces, so, okay, I'm going to cheat a little bit and give myself 4 ounces. Know what 4 ounces look like.
Okay, so you're not saying monitor it forever, just get, until you get used to the portions.
Absolutely.
Get used to knowing what the portions look like.
Then then once you've done it for a period of time, you'll know what that looks like. Even when you go out to dinner, it's like, ooh, that's like four servings right there.
Yeah.
So I know I can't eat all of that.
Because
you'll already have it in your mind what that half a cup looks like, what that whole cup of fresh vegetables look like, what 3 ounces look like, what 4 ounces look like.
Yeah.
And then you can just put that portion to the side and say, you know what, let me just go ahead and pack this up. Because if it's sitting there, more than likely, people, I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
And what's good about a lot of restaurants now is they're serving their meals with these half portions, something they should have done a long time ago. But it's like if you go out to most restaurants, a lot of them are going to have this half portion size now.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I thought they were cutting back.
Yeah, that's a good thing because they recognize that people are trying to eat within a certain confine, and they're trying to do whatever they can do to keep you coming in there.
Yeah.
But I can say, once you get this idea, you'll know what a half a cup is. Kind of like if I eat out with some friends or something, and I look, it's like, oh, my goodness, this is like four servings.
Mm-hmm.
And if I eat all of this, it's like, okay, that's well over what I need.
Yeah.
Because I already know in my mind what the appropriate portion size looks like.
And
it's kind of like it's funny when you, and I always advise my clients, I say, start going to the websites of the places that you're eating at that you like to frequent, and start looking at the nutritional value of their foods, because most of the major chains now have the nutritional content on their websites.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are you looking for the number of calories in a certain food item, you're also wanting to look at the volume of fat, and more importantly nowadays, how much sodium is in the foods that you're eating.
Yeah. Now, what about children? I've heard a lot of parents say, oh, they just kids, let them eat what they want to eat. You know, how do a parent recognize if their child is an emotional eater?
Yeah, that's a tough one because I don't think that a lot of parents really recognize it until they themselves start to make some changes in their lives, and now they want to be a role model for their children. But I always tell the story. I was a chubby kid in middle school. So now I tell my mom, I say, oh, yeah, I was a chubby kid and this and that. And she'll go, well, no, you wasn't chubby. You was just the right size. I say, well, no, sweetie, I kind of remember because I remember the children talking about me, so I know I was chubby.
Yeah.
And it hit me, and I told her, I say, well, I guess that's what a lot of parents, they don't see their children as chubby, and they're thinking everything is perfectly fine when it isn't.
Yeah.
So, but parents have to be role models for their children. Children have to see their parents not drinking a soda every three or four times a day. They have to see their parents eating more fruits and more vegetables and encouraging them to do so that they can be healthy kid. I think it's okay once a kid gets to a certain age, you know, 5 or 6 and above, to say, okay, we want to eat more fruit because you want to be healthy, you want to be strong. So these are the sort of foods that's going to, you know, make that happen, you know, because children now are just, I'd say, 3 times as smart as we were back, you know, in the day.
Yeah.
And it's not like you telling them stuff that's really going to be above their heads, you know, depending on how you put it to them.
Yeah.
But I think parents do have to do a better job at being role models, because if children see you eating a package of Hostess donuts, it's kind of like, okay, well, where's mine?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the emotional stuff that they go through.
Absolutely.
From being overweight as a child, too.
Absolutely.
So it's never too soon. Not to put them on a diet, but just for them.
No, we never talk in terms of diet, because diet implies something for the time being, it's temporary.
Yeah.
But to teach children long-term healthy eating habits that will hopefully stay with them, even when they go places with their little friends, it's kind of like, well, no, I don't really eat fried chicken. or no, I don't eat pork chops, or no, I'm not trying to eat that or this, because it's really not going to benefit my body.
Yeah. And I think, too, parents, and I want to throw this in, I think, too, parents have to get away from thinking that they're taking something away from
mm-hmm.
their child,
yeah.
depriving them of something, because the habits that they have as kids become adult habits.
Absolutely.
And then they be adults, and they don't know how to maintain their weight because it's something, it's a habit now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I tell my parents, I say children now are getting diseases that traditionally didn't happen until you were at least in your 60s and your 70s, when we talk about being diagnosed with high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Children 12 and 13 and above are now being diagnosed with adult-type diseases.
Yeah.
Which means
diabetes.
They're on medication. If they've got
yeah.
to go on medication, they're on medications essentially all their life, whereas back in the day, well, if you got on high blood pressure medication, you might have been in your 50s and your 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But now children and, you know, young folks in their 20s and their 30s are now being placed on medication that if they don't figure out how to live healthier, the side effects is going to take a toll on them much sooner.
Yeah. How can people find out more information about your books and about the services and stuff you offer?
Well, they can always visit my website at www.bridgetlcollins.com. That's BRIDGETTEL Collins. collins.com, or they can feel free to email me at bridget@bridgetcollins.com.
Thank you so much, Coach Bridget L. Collins, for joining us today. But before we go, what is the overall message that you want to leave us with in pertaining to emotional eating?
Well, I would want to encourage the listeners to first sit down and really do this self-examination to figure out what is it that's causing your emotional eating, because that's going to be the first key to moving forward and moving beyond whatever these triggers you've set up for yourself. And for those listeners that might not really understand when I say self-examination, please feel free to email me so I can just kind of send you a form that will help guide you in identifying these things that are causing you to possibly eat beyond hunger, eat beyond what's required for your body. And you can email me at bridget@bridgetcollins.com.
Thank you so much. And
well, thank
again,
you. I sure appreciate
pleasure.
You inviting me to be a guest on the show, and wish you much more success.
Thank you, and I hope to have you back.
Well, I sure appreciate you.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not going to let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you for listening.